This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com and your host for what is a little bonus episode to attach on episode 113. Joining me for it, Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hello.
And Mr. Chris Bird.
Hello.
The old Grealish meltdown has happened, so we thought we'd throw in a little bit of sanity to the mix. The announcement of the England team wasn't something I actually had in my diary, so wasn't that bothered about it. And I thought it was a 50-50 call whether Jack Grealish would be in that squad. And that's mainly from, I think, the last set of England games? It was in November last year?
Yep.
So you're judging in Gareth Southgate's mind what has happened from that point from November to the current moment in time, and in terms of how he's impressed or what he's done above and beyond what he did previously to actually switch in Southgate's mind to select him. He ultimately wasn't selected. Cue meltdown. And there's been a bit of a, social media lynch job on Southgate, which I think is kind of unfair. I mean, it's typical Twitter behavior, really. Throwing around some stats to justify Grealish should be there. Stats that really haven't really been analyzed, what they actually mean, because they don't seem to mean much. So we will look at those and pull up some other stats for you to have a look at. I mean, ultimately, as I, tweeted, didn't want to engage too much in this on social media, but from a Villa point of view, he's with us. The international breaks before the actual season starts, so as Dean Smith was saying in his interview, it's quite good that we actually had that game postponed against Manchester City, because instead of having 3 days after this international break with the players before the first game, he has a week plus, does he not?
Yeah, 4 weeks prep.
Yeah, so that's the good news. Also, you're going to get a more motivated Grealish, because he's going to have a bit of a... And to be honest, when you hear Grealish after matches, he has quite a rational outlook. For Manchester United scores a great goal, but he's the first one to say he should have put in the chance he had straight away, which would have won the game for us. He will say when Southgate's watched him, can't remember which game it was, where he said the first half, I thought I was good, but I don't think he would have thought much of the second half. So he's a bit more rational than the actual groupy hype machine behind him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation in, because it's got to the stage now, especially on Twitter, that not even criticism of Grealish, just anything that doesn't sort of buy into the cult of it, and you're immediately, why aren't you supporting me? He's one of our own, everything else. I mean, we know that. That's, that goes without saying. We want them to do well.
Are you even a Villa fan?
Yeah.
And, there's a spate of tweets before the announcement of the England team, and it was like, what more does he have to do? He has to be in this team. What more does he have to do? Well, actually, we'll discuss that. Just before we get into the Grealish situation, at the moment, as I've mentioned on the previous shows, we are still waiting for the club to engage with supporters regarding returning back to Villa Park. At the moment, I heard back from them today, and they are in a position where, I mean, I've known over the last couple of months, they propose scenarios and they work with what possible scenarios they could be confronted with in terms of getting fans back into Villa Park, you know, whether that's like if the government said 10% capacity or 30% capacity, you know, they go through the whole of the logistics of all the possible scenarios. And at the moment, the government haven't really given any finite plans. So there's nothing really in play at the moment. And from the email I received, it doesn't look like they have any real concrete information at the moment. So we'll see what happens in the next week or so. I know that the FA were looking to actually use the Charity Shield as a test run to have fans back. A couple of weeks ago, they gave up on that idea. Right, anyway, if you want to listen to the normal show, this is, as I just said, this is a bonus show. If you want to listen to the normal show, listen to episode 113, which is a decent enough example of what a full show sounds like. So back to Grealish. Let's go through the arguments. I mean, there's first of all, is this victimization of Gareth Southgate, who I think Gareth Southgate is a reasonable, erudite kind of chap. So it's not as if he's some kind of idiot. He's been watching Grealish. I mean, he was watching Grealish in the Championship. People pick out quotes, for example, like maybe, you know, when he's had some Premier League experience, because they're obviously pulling that one out because of Mr. Phillips from Leeds getting a shout. But he was watching him in the Championship. I think the last time was against when we beat Blackburn 2-1. I think when Mings and Abraham scored, who, funny enough, both in the England squad now. So he was doing his due diligence on Grealish, and that's when he said those words. He said, "Yeah, well, why not see him in the Premier League before he picks him?" Because he obviously wasn't convinced. And one of the problems was he has, that's where his riches are really in terms of players, are in the position that Grealish would probably take up. I mean, he saw him at Everton when Villa Park was rocking. I actually saw Southgate there myself, and Jack didn't have, you know, the greatest of games. He wasn't as if he was influencing or standing out above anybody else. Probably his best game in front of Southgate was the Brighton win 2-1. I think he scored and got an assist there. And then, you know, Southgate's at the League Cup final, and Grealish on the big stage, which this is the most comparable to maybe, let's say, England tournament football latter rounds. And Grealish, again, pretty quiet, if you want to be brutally honest. And then he watched him again in the restart periods. And I think on a previous show, maybe 3-4 shows ago, when we were talking about this situation, I did offer that this next call-up probably was a call-up too soon because he had a quiet restart period. Obviously, he had that lockdown misdemeanor. And he probably thought, well, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a couple of games at the start of the season. And then you look at the first friendly. I mean, these two games are like, what's it called? Nations League. And in the next round, there's a home tie against Wales. And that's actually a real friendly where he'll be able to swap players in and out. So that might be more conducive to Grealish. And if he wanted to take a look at Grealish, that's where, if I was the England manager, that's when I would blood him in. So, I mean, what's your thoughts in terms of Southgate's due diligence in terms of why he hasn't selected him? And, he has been a regular visitor at Villa Park, and he has, watched the situation, because if he's got a gem on his hand, he's not going to just ignore it, is he?
No. I mean, my initial reaction, like most Villa fans, was somewhat annoyed, mainly out of the sort of the thing of, picking Phillips with no Premier League experience, which is fine. But the more you look at it, I sort of look at, well, where does Jack play for Villa? He plays on the left-hand side of a front three. Okay, well, who plays on the left-hand side of a front three for England? Raheem Sterling or Marcus Rashford? Then you've got the likes of Greenwood and Sancho coming into the equation as well. Those four are all ahead of him in terms of where they're at in their career and form. Greenwood's the form option. I mean, he's very much the young, exciting prospect. I don't think Greenwood will start games yet, but because he's got that burst of pace and excitement that Jack doesn't, it's a more, dare I say, a traditional winger and an outlet. You know, Southgate would rather play three proper forwards or sort of winger slash forwards. Jack's not really one of those kind of players. He is more of a playing midfield. So you think, well, if he's not going to play on the left-hand side of a three, is he going to play in the middle of the park? And then you're kind of putting him up against your sort of Mounts and some people like Ross Barkley, Henderson, Phil Foden's obviously in this squad. So there is a whole host of talent who have been at the business end of the table doing it. And while Jack's been good, and Jack has been very good, but the next level above that is the level where Sancho's stats through a whole season at Dortmund and in the Champions League just jump off the page. And
because there's also the situation where Southgate, if Grealish was playing bang in the middle, then that's what Southgate would think. Well, he's playing with it, you know, week in, week out for his club there. And that's where he'd have his best chance. And that's what he's judging him on. He's kind of coming in off the left and, you know, he's putting him up against Sterling and et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was if he was playing as a number 10 or a number 8, where, you know, Jack supposedly wants to play, Southgate might go, okay, fair enough. Right now I'm putting him up against Madison and Foden and those kind of players. Whereas I just think in the position, I mean, I tweeted it, that while Jack is playing in the position he is, I really think he's going to struggle. He might get in the odd squad here and there, but I don't see him starting because Sterling's not old and Sancho's not old and Rashford and Greenwood, these are all young players as well. And they are ahead of him, whether we like it or not. We take the claret and blue tinted specs off. These players are ahead of him right now.
Taking the specs off for a minute. Before I start, you know, because we've been realistic about Grealish pretty much all through this podcast and, you know, somebody made a comment, I know Grealish isn't your favourite player. Well, that's actually not true. I'm just being rational and realistic when we talk about him in terms of the hype machine that, you know, circulates around him. And, you know, that includes some journalists as well. But, the situation is he really rocking and rolling? I mean, one of the stats that keeps getting pushed around is fourth most chances in Europe, 91 chances. Now, people have thrown this around and I've asked them, define these chances. What are these actual chances? Because, you know, we've all watched every second of Villa playing this season, or sorry, last season. And as we were discussing before we came on air, you know, you don't remember Villa actually peppering the hell out of teams or creating chance after chances. And then, you know, we're on the show talking about how our centre forward that we bought in January hardly has a shot on goal, manages a shot on target every three, four games. So we're not creating chances. You know, some people say, well, you know, it's not Grealish's fault, the striker's, you know, not very good. Well, actually, we're not creating those chances because with my eyes, we are not creating that amount of chances that it suggests. So you dig a little bit deeper. And there is a stat that the Premier League provide, which is big chances. Now, this is a chance that pretty much would warrant an assist if it gets tucked away. Now, big chances, Grealish created 8 for the season. So he's 6 assists. So that's, you know, that's six of those 8 big chances were put away. Now, Grealish, comparing to his teammates even, Target has created 8 big chances. Conor Hourihan has created 8 big chances. Grealish has played the most minutes of any Villa player, 3,234. Target's played 2,298, and then Hourihan's probably played half of what Grealish has played, 1,539. So Grealish is creating a big chance every 4.5 games, there or thereabouts. Target is just a shade over a big chance at every 3 games, and Hourihan's your man with just over every 2 games he creates a big chance. And, you know, you see that with your own eyes because you know that Hourihan has end product, and when he comes on or he starts, he normally will make something happen.
Well, was it 5 in 4 games or something he had in the lockdown period? Well,
exactly.
Post-lockdown, that was, and they are tangible assists. We scored from Hourihan crosses or corners or free kicks.
You know, I don't care about these, I don't know, Football Manager, EA Sport playing dudes who say, yeah, but, you know, 91.
It's just not assists, though, is it? I mean, we said this earlier. If Villa had, if Jack had 91 assists, Villa wouldn't be 17th in the league.
Yeah, if they were real chances, we wouldn't be fucking around in relegation battles.
To just show you, we'll go to the Bundesliga and look at our favourite Thomas Müller again. Now, if you go to the Bundesliga, the most chances created, which is this Grealish 91 stat, is Christopher Nkunku from Leipzig. So he's created 65 of these chances. But then you drop down to the most big chances created, you get Thomas Müller, 24. So out of those 24, 16 of those were converted into assists. So, I mean, already you don't need to be a mathematician to look at the sort of the efficiency that's coming in here.
Yeah.
Müller's created 3 times as many chances as Grealish. and 16 of those have been converted.
So when it comes to big chances, you will actually remember them when you watch the game. These 91 chances, I do not remember all this kind of Grealish domination.
No, well, I was saying just beforehand, if we take three examples from the lockdown games, so the first one we'll take is, it's counted as a chance just before the end of the first half against Wolves at home. He ran across the box, probably should have had a shot himself, but seen Connor in a good position and let it run to him. Now, that counts as a chance created. If you go again to the El Ghazi miss, that's a cross to the back post, 1 yard out. Now, that's a big chance created because El Ghazi should have scored. But then you look at the Keenan Davis one. Now, Jack did great work bringing it from his own half just into the Arsenal half. But then whenever he gave the ball to the Keenan Davis still had to run about 30 yards, shrug off an Arsenal defender before he dragged that shot wide. So, I mean, these are all sort of encompassed in that 91 chances, where out of those, I would say one of them's a big chance. One of them's a proper, you know, Jack has created that chance.
Yeah, lots of half chances, as the press would call them.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that lockdown period, I mean, he you know, he's the first to admit he didn't have, you know, the greatest of periods in an interview.
Since we've been back, I probably haven't been as effective as I was before.
Have you felt that pressure of trying to keep Villa up, of it kind of being your responsibility?
No, not one bit. I think I don't really mind pressure. You know, I think pressure's a privilege. My old coach always used to say that to me. But I just think, you know, since I've come back, I haven't felt as fit as I did before the break. But, you know, that's no excuse. I just need to do what I know that I can do. And I think I've done it today. I was probably unlucky not to get an assist in the end.
It was post-Arsenal, and then he kind of said after West Ham, didn't he? He said, you know, he thought he might score. But his heroics on the last day and his performance against Arsenal kind of showed, you know, he turned up on the big stage. You know, great, just when we needed him. But if he turns up for all those 10 games, it could have been a very different running.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I read an article after the West Ham game. It was in The Athletic, which I think the headline was about how he secured his legacy by that goal against West Ham. And it starts talking about this, you know, goal against West Ham saving Aston Villa. And then it's like, well, hang on a minute. If the result was 0-0, it would have been the same result because actually West Ham scored. The journalist mentions it. Oh, you know, forget about West Ham scoring, as if that just upsets the narrative of, you know, oh, that goal makes him a legend now. Well, no, and actually West Ham's goal actually came off his leg. And, you know, Tyrone Mings claimed that goal, that the Ezra Konsa goal, is not that much difference. If Grealish wasn't there, it's not going in.
And another annoying sort of press narrative that's going to come from all of this is that you feel that the press are going to have a field day with the line of, oh, you know, Jack's going to have to move to a bigger club to get his England chances now, nonsense. And that'll roll on potentially for another season.
So what we're being force-fed down our throats is like Jack Grealish is having a 10 out of 10 season, when that isn't the case. Anybody with, you know, anybody who's practical, who's not hype, you know, hyped up, if you were to mark Jack Grealish's season and in the context of what you think he could be doing, let's say if he lived up to this hype.
Or in the grand scheme of every player in the league. I mean, you look at the levels that De Bruyne is hitting every week, Or even, you know, was it the players' player of the year was Henderson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, he's a much different player to Jack, obviously, so it's hard to compare. But his level of consistency every single week and against really good teams. Bear in mind, this is a guy who's playing in the Champions League as well. He's playing a lot more games.
Because the difference is, Grealish, if he's playing at the level of those guys, he's putting in that arguably an easier chance he had a few minutes after he scored against United at Old Trafford. He's putting that away and winning the game. He's not, you know, getting dispossessed against Spurs that's led to a conceded goal. He's making above and beyond, you know, a good goal here, a good goal there. He's actually, you know, winning big games. He's, you know, against Manchester City, we may not have won, but if he'd really turned up and, you know, let's say he scored, we got beat 3-2, then Southgate's watching, well, you know, if Villa had a few more players with the influence of Grealish, they might have been able to win this. But, you know, he was fairly anonymous. So this is, you know, if you're judging him, to get in an England team, he's got to be doing nine out of 10. But this season, everybody's saying brilliant, fantastic. I mean, I'm not saying he's above a 7 for it, because I know he can do a lot more. And, you know, I think that's by his own definition.
Absolutely. You know, what, he says it himself. I mean, this isn't, you know, for all the listeners who, you know, who like to have a crack at us for being overly critical. I don't think anybody's anywhere near as critical of Grealish as him himself.
Yeah.
You know, you hear him interviewed and he wants to get better. And that's exactly the attitude you want him to have. That's the reason why last week you see videos of him in Mykonos at a training camp. He's, you know, he wasn't off getting pissed. He had his week in a beta and then he's working and working and working because he knows where the bar is, and he knows the level he wants to be at. And that's what you want to see. That's something everybody can applaud him for. And you hope through this, which will be, you know, he'll be disappointed to not make the squad, but you hope that you get the right response from him to go, well, you know, fuck you, I'm going to prove you wrong, because it'll be the making or the breaking of him. Because if he goes and sulks and starts the season, you know, in a mood, then you'll go, well, Southgate was right. Whereas if he starts the season on the front foot and he's pulling Villa along with him, and then you think, great, and that's what everybody wants to see, including, you know, the three of us. You know, I don't want to sit on a podcast, and I mean, I don't even pan him, but, you know, I mean, I don't want to be critical. Yeah. I want to be able to go, he's really hitting the heights now, and now you're starting to see a player going through the gears a bit. Because we saw what he could do in the Championship, and I think we saw bits of what he could do in the Premier League. But the big thing about becoming an international player or playing at a big, big club, and we've said it all season about every Villa player, is consistency. And Jack had very good moments, but he wasn't consistent. He wasn't, you know, I remember, like, sort of go back to the days of, you know, the talk of when, like, Gareth Barry was just missing out on England squads. And everyone was like, how is this guy not in the squad? He's been doing this for like 2 years in the Premier League, or longer probably, before he actually got his call up. And Gareth Barry was a 7 or an 8, probably an 8, every week. And that's what Jack will have to aspire to next year, is the consistency. And I know that comes from the players around him, but it is the taking games by the scruff of the neck against good teams. That's what Southgate, you know, will go, wow, you know.
There is that. I mean, this is the thing. There's this attitude from certain Villa supporters who the first thing they'll say is, oh, you know, we're not getting anything against Liverpool. We're not getting anything against Manchester City. And then celebrating Grealish as if he's second coming. And it's like, well, if you got the second coming in your team, you should be going into those games with, right, let's, you know, we've got a chance here because, you know, we've got Grealish in our team.
It's where are you setting your bar, isn't it? It's like, you know, I'll give Grealish all the credit in the world, but I want him to be better. Why? I don't see why the fans can't, you know, aspire for their star player to get better. You know, he looks up to players like Hazard and De Bruyne, and if that's where his, you know, his bar is set, brilliant.
Yeah, he's only getting started. I mean, everybody's saying that, you know, what was it you heard today? There's not, what else can he do? Well, you know, is that it then? Should he just retire?
Yeah, if that's it, then we might as well sell him.
What was it, eight goals?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the squad here, and there's a whole lot of whataboutery going on. You know, Harry Winks, Ward-Prowse, Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips. He doesn't play there. I mean, you may as well be comparing him to Dean Henderson and Pickford and Pope. I mean, he doesn't play in that position. He's not going to be your defensive midfielder. He's not going to put, you know, crunching tackles in. He's not going to be disciplined and sit in the...
And Declan Rice as well, of course. Yeah. You know, Declan Rice had a brilliant end to the season, didn't he?
Yeah, and then you look at then who he is against. And, right, so Foden, we've already discussed the way Foden played in the League Cup final, and he was unbelievable.
And whenever he's given a chance for City, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have Abraham, Greenwood, Ings, Kane, Rashford, Sancho and Sterling are all your, what Southgate sort of lumps in as forwards. And is he getting in ahead of Danny Ings? You know, I know Ings is an out-and-out striker, but I mean, whenever you're talking a squad of 23, 24, it's, you know, he might leave a striker out to accommodate a player like Grealish that doesn't have a defined position.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everything that's been said, Grealish's best hope is to be, you know, to be that match winner and get in the England squad that goes into tournaments as the wildcard player, the player that can give you something a little extra. You know, when you're locked against, I don't know, Spain 0-0 or 1-1 and you got 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, you bring him on.
Or if you're playing against, you know, a lower team who are parking the bus and you need someone who can, unpick the lock.
But he needs, I think, a consistency of position. I think he's going to struggle to break in as a forward because, I mean, you know, we've only seen this evolution in the last couple of seasons where Smith's actually told him, get in the box more, get in the box. So it's not a natural thing because in his own words, he sees himself as a number 8 stroke number 10. So he has to be in that position. And that's, you know, up to Dean Smith. Part of the reason why he's ended up on the left-hand side is because we have lacked a bit of quality on, you know, in the wide midfield position.
Yep. And that isn't necessarily his fault, but
no, it's not his fault.
I think this is the season Jack is going to have to define himself in terms of this is my role. Because that's the thing with all these guys in the squad, you know exactly what their role is. And it might be that potentially his versatility is his Achilles heel to a point. You know, I look back at players who sort of didn't get the run of England caps that they deserved, people like Matt Letizier or Paul Merson. They were much more indefinable players. Managers never knew where to play them. You can afford to put them in the squad.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, Jack, personally, I think he's potentially a really good asset for the England squad, but I don't necessarily think he's a starter off the bat. That's to be decided.
Not at current performance levels and where he's playing.
But he is an option.
As I was saying, you know, I've said to somebody on social media, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned. He'll get his chance because I think, he's going to improve. And I think his next season with Villa, you will see, transitional season with Villa was always going to be difficult as a team, never mind as an individual. So I think once he has players, the ones that we've still, you know, the ones that we have last season that actually know their roles more and have matured a little bit, that will help him. And then anything new that adds quality to the team will suddenly assist him in a big way and they will help him fulfill his potential. And, you know, somebody said back to me, oh, he's 25 now, you know, he's not going to get any better. He's not going to perform any better. So, you know, what more can he do to get in the England team? And I said, well, it's rubbish. He's only really just got started. He's just spent 3 years in the Championship. So. Yeah.
Tell that to Jimmy Vardy.
Yeah, at least 1 year of that. He was injured.
Yeah, collectively, yeah.
When did Vardy get his first cap? Look at him now. He's just signed the new contract with Leicester. It'll take him up to, he's 36. So, you know, age doesn't, you know, different players sort of peak at different times. And I don't think Jack's peaked yet, despite everybody else in the Villaverse thinking he has.
No, and he's not a player his game isn't based on pace, is it, either? So it's not like he's going to have to worry about, similar to Gareth Barry, actually, you know, who never had pace either. He's not that kind of player who needs to have the legs of, like, you know, if Sancho was to get a bad hamstring injury, like Michael Owen did very early in his career, or these kind of guys who were speedsters. And that's, I think, how England, well, you know, Southgate wants his England team to play. He wants a dynamic, pacey front three and a dynamic midfield. And Jack's a different player. And having something different is great, but he has to fit into the way the team plays. Jack's not...
And he has to be consistently very good. Like, you know, like a Pirlo, you don't see him running around 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But you know, when he's got the ball, he knows exactly what he's doing.
And you can afford to have a player like Pirlo in a team like Italy when you build it around that player. Jack, unfortunately, right now, the reality is he's not at that level where Southgate looks at him and goes, I'm going to build my England team around him. He just isn't going to at the moment. You know, he's going to build his England team around Harry Kane.
I mean, here we are, you know, spending 20 to 30 minutes talking about this when I really not going to lose any sleep of him not getting into this particular England call-up.
Yeah, it just shows you that it's the danger of stats for stats' sake. I mean, cut them down a bit because looking at he has the longest carry, sort of the ball carry in all the leagues. And yet you'd think with that would come the most take-ons, but he's only down at 8th in the Premier League for take-ons. And like, 100 behind Adama Traore and Zaha. So, you know, they just don't marry up at the minute. So just try and cut the stats out of Grealish when you're looking at him and just sort of concentrate on what he actually does and what he's actually good at.
Yeah. Or essentially, where is he effective? Because I don't want to see Jack taking on players in the left-back position.
Meta got him in the England team.
Stats can be used in any which way. But when you get down to the key stats, and this is the thing, I mean, celebrating 8 league goals and 6 assists and saying that he should be in the England team, I don't think that's currency to get you into a guaranteed England team. I mean, I would be hoping you'd be at least into, you know, double league figures. But then you start to talk about big club bias. But, you know, nobody mentions that Mings is in the squad still.
Or Nick Pope is at
Burnley. Players and Southampton players and, you know, even Leeds. It's not, I don't think Southgate's, you know, that way wired. And there's also, you know, he didn't see him as his main man in the under-21s either. And there is a bit of Grealish's temperament and, you know, off-the-pitch behaviour, which I don't think that lockdown incident really helped him in that department. But I think if he had a storming restart period, he would have been probably knocking on the door. So I think it's harsh to give Southgate a kick in there. It's just an easy option and many things are parroted. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's because, you know, Grealish is one of our own and there's a lot of it's a sentiment. A lot of fans just want to see him do well and they want the best for him. So that's why they're disappointed he's not in the England team. And that is a big part of the pie of this.
I mean, my final point on the whole thing is, and this would apply to any player at the moment, is what a strange scenario that would be. You know, probably the proudest moment of your career, a real defining moment for you and your family, and you'd be making your England debut behind closed doors. Like, what a hollow achievement.
Yeah, no, that is a good point as well.
You know, obviously, that would apply to, you know, any player in any country in the world.
That's like the Messi situation, where they're talking about Messi leaving Barcelona and going to Manchester City. So if he gets to play, oh, we get to see Messi in the Premier League, but almost no fans get to see him. We don't know how it's going to pan out.
We'll have to auction the tickets, all 300 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And it is an empty feeling, and it will get more empty and empty, you know, the quicker we get back in the stands and return back to the reality of what football is, you know, the better. But obviously, this is something that we can't control, or the game can't control.
Nope.
But yeah, don't be too despondent about Grealish not getting the England team, because it works out well for Villa. You get a more motivated player. Don't believe, you know, that parroted bullshit. Oh, now he's going to think that he wants to go to United, get into the... No, that's bullshit. I think he'll have less chance.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he has to move into the centre, he's not going to move into the centre at any of the top six teams.
Yeah.
So if he wants to change position, the only place he's going to get the freedom to do it is at Villa.
So his best bet, if you want the best for Grealish, is for him to stay at Villa and a consistent Grealish who gets Villa up the league, that only helps big time. Because I don't think Gareth Southgate for one moment is foolish enough to think, oh, Grealish kept Villa up that season, not based on what he saw with his own eyes. And, you know, I would say that myself, he helped as a bunch of the team did. And ultimately, as we've said, you know, it was that improved defensive organisation that got us over the line ultimately. And that gives us hope for next season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're not going to get Mr. Grealish injured before the season kicks off as well. People forget that sometimes Villa have had some bad luck in the past. I mean, even recently, people talking about how James Chester played through an injury, you know, for Villa in the Championship. But he actually got injured on international duty for Wales. Codger missed a big chunk one season when he got injured, and that was quite a controversial one when he had returned back from an injury and then went off to the Ivory Coast training, and then he got injured there.
And Mavi did his cruciate playing for France.
Yep, good one, yep. So there's a blessing in disguise. And ultimately, international football's not what it used to be. The World Cup's not what it used to be. And as Chris says, when he makes his debut, I think he'll prefer it to be with fans present and, you know, family present. And that will come. Everybody wants the best for him because, they feel like he's one of them. But his time will come. And when it does come, that will mean that Villa have progressed considerably as well. Right. Thank you for listening. Please do become a My Old Man Said patron and get access to extra podcasts. We've just put out a under and over for the whole current team. There'll be the third part and final part of the Sean Teal interview. Also, you get access to Match Club. Until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.